grew up in Mendocino, little tiny town, and my parents took in foster kids. And when my brother was five, they actually adopted him. And I took Tony away from my parents when I was 24 and he was 15, and realized that there are just no programs out there for teenage kids, especially if they're not college bound. But some of the stories he told me about growing up in foster care would give anyone nightmares, let alone having to live through it. So he ended up with colon cancer and was infected with HIV at a hospital in Dallas. And in 2000, I promised him that I would create a school to be able to take these kids off the streets so they didn't have to live through the nightmares like he did. And so that became the first inkling that I was going to do this. He passed away 5 years. We actually got 10 years total of having him here instead of 6 months. And during that 10 years, I was able to do a lot of things with him that I don't think most people ever get a chance to adventure. And it made me realize that unless you actually have somebody who's there to protect you, most of you probably had a really good family life, or you probably wouldn't be sitting here. You must have had someone, like I did, school teachers or mentors who came along in my life and actually helped guide me through this maze of confusion. You know, when you're growing up, there's so many things that go wrong. When I was 15 years old, someone paid for me to go for a week in Occidental up by Sacramento or Santa Rosa. And it changed my life because it made me realize that I was more than just the daughter of parents who didn't know how to treat children, because they were never treated properly as children. And it goes on and on, generation after generation. So I became curious, learned a lot of things about personality recognition, why people learn, some do, some don't, how they learn, the different processes that kids have to go through. I was 44 years old before I realized I was smart. I have 144 IQ. Did not even know I was intelligent. I figured everybody thought the way I did, so it was pretty normal for me. It's the way I thought afterwards. You know, so it's mainly if children are taken at an early enough stage, and I wish that we could take them at 6 years old. But at 15 years old, we have three judges in the Bay Area who are willing to emancipate these children and give them a choice. They can go to juvenile hall or Ultimate Business University, UBU. So over the last 13 years, but specifically the last 3 years, I've been able to gather a group of people. Melody, Doris, and Ollie are doing student recruitment around the Bay Area. Have any of you ever heard of Doug Hawley? He was a linebacker for the Detroit Lions. I actually had an entrepreneur training program, and I taught Doug how to go out into the business community and speak to organizations to get financial funding. And in turn, he said, Sharon, what you're doing is so amazing, I want to help you. So he introduced me to these judges. And that's how we began the focus. A year ago, I also have an author program, because I've done a lot of entrepreneur training, and I have an author program where I teach people how to write their book from their heart so that they can actually get out into the business world, stop having a job they don't like, and create a six-figure income. And one of the women that I worked with, I called her a month after I talked to her. It was May a year ago. And just checking in, did she have a chance to write her book? Did she have a chance to get started? And she said, no, but your ears must have been burning yesterday. I said, why? Because it was Sunday? And she said that at church, there was a woman there that her uncle actually has a fund that they're looking for philanthropic projects. I said, well, that's really cool. Right, being in the right place, talking to the right person, remembering to follow up, all those different skills that I had taught all the entrepreneurs. So I met with the broker, finished the business plan up, did a synopsis. That was in July, a year ago. December 28th, I got the phone call. They had approved my project out of 60,000. 20 were approved. So I have been awarded $309 million to actually build a school in Belize. It started out as it was going to be 300 boys, and then it was grow and grow and grow until we had 3,000 and then a girls' school. So you might see on the brochure that I forgot to add girls. Well, now that we have 300 million, we can do both the boys and the girls' school simultaneously. The first year, which will be September a year from now, we're going to take 500 boys and 500 girls, because I want to work out the kinks. I don't want these kids to be subjected to something that isn't working. So the major part that is different than most education is we're actually going to be taking all of the curriculum and put it into multimedia. So math, science, history, English is all going to look like Star Wars movie. Then visiting instructors will come and teach things like auto mechanics, art, dance, cooking, sewing, every kind of course that we think is an elective will be mandatory. Starting their junior year, they're going to write their own grant so they can go to any college anywhere in the world. Every child will write their own book by the end of their senior year, because it's going to show a legacy to other kids who are living on the streets. Today we have 200,000 children under 19 living on the streets in the United States without adult supervision. 50% of those kids will be dead by the time they're 35 or incarcerated. It's not their fault that they're in the situation that they're in. And I always think about how rough my family life was, but I still had a roof over my head. I knew where I was sleeping every night. I knew I could go out and get a job and come back to that house and at least know that I was going to have food, even if I had to buy it. These kids have no idea where they're sleeping tonight. These kids that are going to be in front of the judges, they won't be hardened criminals. At 15, it's pretty hard to be hardened, but if you have to fight for every day of your life, you can become hardened by the time you're 15. But we're going to be taking kids, first time, second time offenders for shoplifting, breaking an entry, looking for a place to live. And we're going to turn them around so that they actually have a choice. They can come to UVU or they can go to juvenile hall. But the miracle of this is that through all the processes, and I don't know if all of you have ever thought about this, but every experience you have in your life brings you to where you are at this moment. And I'm so grateful for all of the lessons that I've had. Some are pretty tough, but I am who I am because of every lesson I've been exposed to. So these kids are going to learn what they went through. It could be their inspiration or it could be their downfall. They're going to be taught how to think for themselves, not how to memorize information and then regurgitate it for a test. They're going to learn how to do things to be self-sustaining. Our school will be 100% self-sustaining in 5 years. We're going to grow our own crops. We'll have chickens and pigs, much to my dismay. I didn't want pigs, but we're going to have our own manufacturing. We're going to grow coffee. We're going to have our own coffee bean.
Plantation.
The plantation with the beans. You know, we brewery. We're going to make our own beans. The coffee plantation itself will actually support 25% of our budget, which is $85 million a year with 3,000 kids in each school. So we have a lot of ways of regenerating information, but also teaching the education. We'll teach boat making, stained glass, pottery, everything that we can imagine as an art, a skill, so that these kids, by the time they are 18, they will have been exposed to everything that they need, not only to survive, but to thrive. They'll be taught how to find out what they're passionate about. You know, people who like math, I was a math major, it sounds ridiculous, but I love math. But I didn't even know that that was unique. You know, I look at things in terms of numbers. So when I think about these kids living on the streets and not having a chance to actually live a life that they truly deserve because of the circumstance where they were born, and if one person intervenes, I mean, you think about what UVU is doing, it's only going to be 2% of all the children out there in the world. But I've already met two other people who have similar ideas. You know, I'm looking to actually create transition houses, so they're live workspaces. So the military bases that are closed, you know, being able to convert those to where the kids can have a job and make some money, but have a safe place to live, so that they don't have to get into illegal aspects of surviving. So we do need teachers. It's not just for kids. Of course, we're going to have 20 children for every teacher. We're going to have a teacher assistant for every teenager. We have separate dorms, sophomore, junior, senior. The boys' campus and the girls' campus are 5,000 acres apart.
We have a schematic.
We actually...
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How many students have signed up for this program so far?
We actually can't have them sign up until probably summertime.
Are you finding that they're willing to leave their environment?
I worked with a women's shelter in Oakland, and I was able to talk to about 20 kids, and every one of them said, sign me up. And a few of the parents said, take them. I've had parents, this is actually the layout of the school, and I've had parents tell me that even though their kids have a home, they wouldn't like them to come to this kind of school. Because what we'll be able to do is take kids that are barely getting by and teaching them how to become able to use their intelligence. Stanford actually did a study after finding 2,000 children, no matter what the ethnicity or income background. 98% of everyone born is born with a genius capacity. It diminishes 25% until at the age of 21, 2% are left. So we can actually regenerate that ability to learn and retain and actually find the things that they're passionate about. And I think that's what makes the difference. And if there's other questions, I would...
Where is the money? I mean, $309 million. Do you already own the land and the building? The structure's already there?
That comes out of the $309 million.
Okay, so where is the money coming that's being generated to
build... It's a private source.
Okay. And that's already secured?
Yeah.
And it's ongoing? It's not like a one-time thing?
Right.
And then they'll eventually be self-sustained.
We will be self-sustained within 3 to 5 years, yeah.
And then have you met with the local judges at all to find...
Three in the Bay Area.
But
yeah. Not out here. This is, I think this came about, what? Oh, you have.
We have already.
So we just heard about this Thursday?
Yes.
I think it was Thursday evening or something, I think it was. So I haven't had a chance to meet with any of the judges here, but...
Well, Melody had actually brought it to me a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I already had meetings with judges to start with, so at the same time, I actually gave them... the opportunity to tell me what they wanted to do with this, and they said if it's possible for us to emancipate some of those kids and give them a better life, we'll do it. And so we've got them online with us.
What's
Judge Flaviano was the old, but I got a couple more of them. Right.
What is the time frame to emancipate a youth?
It usually takes anywhere between 60 and 90 days.
So a youth that opts for this when they're standing in front of the judge then would be detained until...
Well, that's
then
what we're talking about, the transition centers. So to have facilities like we have Alameda Air Force Base, we have Treasure Island. Treasure Island, there's over 2 million square feet of empty warehouse space. So if I could find a manufacturer that wanted to move in there and have some kind of manufacturing, you know, LED lights are like really in need right now. You know, something like that.
But that wouldn't stop them from going ahead and allowing the kid to go ahead and go into the program, even though the emancipation might be take that 6 to 9 days.
So they would then just there's the process for the passport, the visa, the
yes,
all of
that
kind of stuff.
And we actually have in Belize the brother of the person who issues the visas is on our side. So we have 24 hours that he'll actually get his visas, which is pretty amazing.
I can imagine that some of these kids are going to have some pretty heavy issues because, I mean, their skill set is, you know, surviving on the streets. Is there something in your plan that will address, you know, that issue? Or those issues?
Thank you for asking that. Because of all the things that I was exposed to, think of every abuse you can imagine, mm-hmm. and then double that. That's what I was exposed to as a child. When I worked with the Buddhist monks in 1998, they actually told me I was the only person they ever met in the United States who had no negative energy in my body. So there are ways of reversing the negativity, no matter what it is. And one of the programs is called Nesting. It's a program that I developed. Within 1 hour, you can take the most critical aspect that anyone has been exposed to, so fear, anger, abandonment, all of those things can be reversed so that their memories, which then allows these kids to learn. So the multimedia education that we're working with, they took the worst kids in Northern California and they put them through this multimedia course. They ended up with the highest grade increase of any group of kids in the United States after 1 year.
One of the things that you have that is critical to this is the change of environment.
Yeah.
I don't know if some of you might have ever, just that 3 days of being at the Asparagus Festival, some of the kids that were part of the one program actually... We had one documented gang member that was there. He had on his Yankees jersey and he had on his cap. And the gang unit was there at the Asparagus Festival and they saw him. They immediately went over and started questioning him about why he was there. Now, of course, I went to his rescue because he was there to work. He wasn't there to cause any trouble. But he actually stood there, listened to what they had to say, and he, when they finished, he just walked over and got behind me, and they left, and he went back to work. And I really believe that that was that environmental change, because he was actually around some people that he didn't have to be threatened by. And he had been there for a couple of days already, and he had actually gotten to know some people and gotten made some new friends and things of that sort. And he didn't know that he was standing next to the chief of police when he was actually making the asparagus, until later on when he introduced himself to it. And so it was cases like that, to where some of the kids just actually, their whole demeanor and their whole attitude changed because of that environmental change. So just imagine them going to police, right? And the environment is changing, or just the ambiance of being in something like that. It changes the whole attitude.
They're going to freak out.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, imagine.
What if they get there and they don't like it?
They can come home.
They come home.
We're not holding them prisoners, that's for sure.
This is not a detention center.
This is the school. So I met with my architect 5 years ago, and 2 years later, I said, I want the school to look like a modern-day version of Harry Potter's Hogwarts castle. And in 3 days, this is what he actually came up with, which is magical. So imagine being on the streets and living in a castle, growing up in a castle.
Thank you, Mrs. Lowe.
So the idea is, like, the spires on the castle are art studios with easels so that the kids can go up 120 feet and draw and paint. They're going to have everything you could imagine, like the best of all education, from music. We're going to have music festivals. I was telling Melody on the way over here, one of the future plans is 3 to 5 years from now, actually buying a separate property where we'll do music festivals, where we can actually have like a Caribbean music festival, and it'll be part of our fundraising, but it's to involve the kids in music. Everyone knows that kids who play a musical instrument are much better at math and twice as likely to go on to college, and yet that's one of the programs that's been cut out of our schools. So this is something that we're going to take every possible course that we can think of, no matter how ridiculous it is. The kids are going to learn hypnotherapy, because when you learn how to control your own emotions, then you don't have that knee-jerk reaction. So there's just so many things that we'll be able to incorporate in this.
Any more questions?
So you're willing to take students from throughout the United States?
Yes.
Because I'm not speaking for everyone. I don't think we could, 300 students, not possible.
Well, we're starting with that.
I mean, there might be a few.
Well,
that
in Northern California, you know, there are 60,000 children in juvenile halls sleeping on the floors because there are no beds.
Why out of the country? Is there a reason why the kids have to go out?
The biggest reason is it's $45,000 a year to take care of a child here. Mm-hmm. It's $15,000 in Belize. And then, just like you were saying, to move them from their environment so they can't just jump a fence and go back.
Well, I mean, the Stockton kid, you know, French camp, they're already there, but a remote place.
Yeah, they're not going to hire a fence in Belize. And
it's kind of like the gentleman that says he's over the Harrison Homes. Mm-hmm. Most of all the kids in Harrison Homes are from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So they've relocated them to this area because it's a foreign area, and they actually, there's a lot less threat for them or whatever. They're trying to figure out where they are, first of all. And so they actually work a little bit better with counselors and things of that sort, because they have been removed from their environment. So
there are out-of-state placements, though, too. And I know that there's a lot of careful consideration by a lot of different agencies regarding juvenile youth that are sent even to out-of-state. Out-of-county placements are one thing, but certainly out-of-state placements are much more intensive scrutiny.
It is.
By multiple agencies.
And that's what she was talking about, with there being a probationary period to where they will actually go to one area here in the United States before they go there. Mm-hmm. And that's why they would do that, to actually see if they can actually acclimate to, or to adjust to that, being away from home or being away from their area.
So we won't be taking drug addicts. We won't be taking kids that have committed a major crime. We will have the facilities to be able to handle things, but I don't want the other kids exposed to that.
What about the acclimation when they return? What will be put in place there?
Well, they'll be able to, because of the grants, go to any college anywhere in the world. And we have an amazing tracking system, because of my math. I also taught myself COBOL, Fortran, DBase, Foxborough, every software writing there is. So we are going to be able to take tracking systems to figure out what happens to these kids. How many of them go to college? How many of them finish college? Do they go back to their original community? How many of them make a difference? How many want to come back to the UVU system? So Belize is the first campus. 6 months after we have UVU launch, we're already going to be breaking ground. We do have a property in Bataan, but it's for children in the Philippines. We already have commitments from the Gold Coast in Australia, and our first orphanage, 6 months old through 18, in South Africa. We have Tanzania, Uganda, and just have a new agreement with Tibet. So this is already, we're looking at 7 years of expansion before we've even gotten started.
What's the name of the benefactors? Who's connected to that?
I am. I met with the people. They insist on becoming anonymous, so they don't want people coming after them for additional funding.
So you somehow heard about the opportunity to apply out of the 20,000?
Through the offer that I met a year ago.
Okay.
Her uncle is the person who is in charge of the fund, and when my program was introduced to them, out of 60,000 proposals, UVU was actually granted one of the positions. And
one of the things that, in response to what you were asking about you would be hard pressed to maybe find 300 kids. We're not really banking on that from the one program. This was just something that I wanted to do for the schools because I know that it was needed. Some of the kids here really deserve to make a difference in their lives, and you know that as well as I do. But we're not banking on getting all 300 from the one program. There are other programs, but they wanted me to go directly to the boys. What is that? The children's home or whatever it is.
Mary Grant. Is it Mary Grant?
No, the
Boys and Girls Stockton.
No, the jail. Where they,
Yeah,
they wanted me to go straight out there and start. I said, no, I know some kids that actually are still on the ground that will probably benefit this a little bit better. And then we actually, if we go out there, then there'll probably be some that would qualify for it as well out there. But for right now, we're going to try to gear it towards.
And we're thinking, you know, 14-year-olds now will be 15 next year, and that's when we'll launch the program in September.
My concern is sustainability. So just hear me out. You go into this, we communicate with these young kids who are having difficulties. Understand wanting to keep your benefactor anonymous, but some of us here in this room have had promises like this made before, and the rug pulled out from under us. Mm-hmm. So we get these kids over there, and all of a sudden your funding is gone. Because what you're talking about here, these are very large plans. I mean, a staff to run something like this.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah, I mean, this is
plan,
a huge undertaking.
I know.
And
look, Chris, all of that has been considered going in.
I have a team of over 125 people now, and the school hasn't even launched. So I have people in place. I have, you know, the entire architects and engineers, the A&E team. I have everything from fundraising. We'll have 40 full-time fundraisers. We have just amazing programs where we'll be able to take our curriculum. So when the kids take a course, then they have to go into the multimedia lab and re-engineer that course by their participation. That will be resold to high schools to create another fund for kids who are college-bound that don't have funding to go to college. So they can sell our education back to high schools for all the extracurricular activity for $500 for an entire school, and it'll include every elective there is. So we have that in itself, with 20,000 high schools in the United States, if only 25% of the high schools pitch in, that's still 25% of our budget. So we have something like 15 different kinds of fundraising activities that will more than generate about 180% of what our annual budget is.
So if a student wants to go and their legal guardian agrees, okay, or they're emancipated, it's at no cost to the student.
Right.
None at all.
Right. Airfare, getting there, clothes, food, nothing.
Are you going to go through any kind of accreditation for the school?
Absolutely. Leslie Bartley, and thank you for asking, has had four high schools accredited, and he is now my vice president of education. So he is going to make sure that there's seven aspects of having the school accredited, and he's going to make sure that we more than exceed what those aspects are.
So I would think that probation, even though you know students outside of juvenile hall, many students had come, you know, back and forth a long time ago when the whole camp program started out there. The goal of the camp was to take students who weren't yet, you know, the more hardcore offenders or violent offenders or whatever, and remove them from the streets for 6 months at a time to try and get them to turn around. And now, because of need or whatever else, those aren't the students that are at the camp. But I could see probation being a huge piece, that partnership with, and peacekeepers and so on, with regard to knowing what's actually happening on the streets, and, you know, who to swoop up and remove that piece, or at least offer that.
This is the beginning of how we're going to be doing that. See, up until this point, I couldn't even ask for students. So I've been working on this for 13 years, and I have, you know, hit a lot of dead ends. This is the third time I have been granted the funding, and for one reason or another, you know, economic times, things happen. But this is out of the first, I'm one of the first 10 to receive the funding, so they've actually turned over the funding for two of the projects out of 20 so far. And so I'm just waiting in line for the magic phone call.
Well, I've already spoke with Mr. Womack over at Peacekeepers, and I've also been in contact with the alternative school for Lincoln. So Lincoln's alternative is actually interested as well. So we actually have a lot of stuff that's going on probation. We don't have to worry about that, because not only do we have probation for schools or whatever the case may be, but we also have Vic Singh, which is actually looking into I can't think of the lady's name right now, but she's working with probation for the kids who actually will, that they identify that might be able to be a part of this program. So we probably won't take any kids from the mental health department, but we will take some kids they actually recommend to us. So
I wanted to mention, because, you know, knowing that a program's only 6 months old is very hard on the kid. You know, I only have 6 months, then what? And that's one of the reasons why those temporary programs don't work, and why I wanted a 3-year opportunity to work with these kids throughout their high school, because that actually gives them that sense of permanency and family. Part of our program is we have 300 bungalows on campus for students. We have 40 set aside for visiting instructors, 20 bungalows set aside for seniors who have skills and talents and want to work with the kids. So they will live there as permanent residents. So these will be senior people, couples, who will take them fishing, teach them knitting, have them over for dinner. You know, I mean, there's so many things that we can do to give these kids a better family environment as well.
What is our role? What are you?
Being the eyes and ears. You know, there's lots of different ways of getting these kids off the streets. And the main thing is, you know, Melody can be out there and you can be out there, but there's so many kids out there that just fall through the cracks. And we want to be able to help as many of those kids as possible. And we're also building on the information that's already out there, so that if we can't take the kids, maybe there's another program. So, you know, by working together, and it's always been unfortunate, there's so many programs that don't work together, and a lot of people who keep reinventing the wheel. And what we want to do is become a clearinghouse to be able to help kids find the right program at the right time.
So we're actually, along with this, we're creating, because the teen center has been given over to us, the teen center actually is going to become a safe haven. We've actually been in contact with some of the gang leaders and things of that sort, because I actually made that connection with them, because I've worked with Stockton Unified for quite a while and in the mentorship process. And we've gotten in touch with them and actually talked to them about that being a no-gang zone. And so actually what will happen is that we'll be able to, we're going to be housed out of the teen center. Kids will actually be able to come down there and talk to us about if they want to get involved with this program or whatever. You would actually, if you found some kids that you identified that might be able, that might be interested in something like this, then you would send them to us. And then we would actually take them through our process of identifying if they would actually be a good candidate for it, and then we would actually ship them off to that. And so, but you'd be, one of the things that we really want you to know is that you'd be aware of everything that's going on with that child. We'd want you to send somebody to us, and then all of a sudden that's the last time you see them, and you think they're somewhere at a work camp somewhere in Louisa or something like that, but that's not the case. We would actually stay in contact with you. We would probably need to ask you some questions about them and be able and ask you to come and be a part of that. So we want you to be as big a part of this process as you would like to be. And so that's what we're asking you. My baby is this. This is what I want. I want the one program to be involved more than anybody else. If not, then we'd have to seek out alternative schools.
So we will actually have live video stream from the campus so that people can see the groundbreaking. They can see the school as it's being built. They can see the campus. They can, you know, we'll have virtual tours on a regular basis so people can see the involvement that the kids are going through. And, you know, we'll have, it's not going to be like a virtual reality show, definitely, but the kids will be given all the privacy that they need.
Yeah.
No. The kids are actually going to be in a 10 by 15 room with a private bath and shower, like a little mini hotel suite. I mean, they're going to be treated with respect. You know, that's what's so amazing is that, you know, they're going to be given that level of respect that they've never had. Most of these kids have never had their own room. You know, we'll have clothing manufacturing, shoe manufacturing. We'll be able to teach these kids skills. We'll have clothing designers from all over the world coming to teach these courses. So these kids are never going to want for anything.
I'm sure some of you are aware that some of the kids that you have never crossed Hardy Way. Mm-hmm. I've had several kids that I took to the beach, and because they had never been to the beach, they went in with all the clothes on. and they were trying to figure out what those big birds were. That were out at the beach, and these were kids who had been in Stockton for years and had never been to the beach or had never been north of Hardingway. And it was kind of taboo for a long time to come north of Hardingway. So there's a great need for an environmental change for a lot of our children, and a lot of the reasons why they behave the way that they do is because they don't know anything else. And so we need to give them an alternative.
Do you have your application packet and the brochure is great, but it's to where, like, even...
It's actually going to be available online.
Okay.
So under student recruiters, and you can always follow up with Melody.
Okay. Just to be able to really look into, you know,
sure.
So all of the answers, you know...
And you can actually return that with student information. That is just for fundraising. It's basically to gather any name. And if you want to be kept up to date, if you give me your business card, you become part of the database that gets updated information on a regular basis.
Well, it's a very noble cause, indeed.
Thank you.
So that's it?
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.